Hi, you're listening to Glad Tidings. Today, we have Pastor Michael Tan sharing the word. We hope this message encourages you in your faith.
Shalom to all of you. Good morning to all of you and for our second service. We are going to read today from the Gospel of Luke. It is the only Gentile scripture writer in the Bible, Dr. Luke. If you can, let's read with me from Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to verse 42. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Father, we thank you even for your word today, Lord. We know that we have, every time when we come together as the people of God, we are taking a pause in our daily lives. We are saying no to other things when we say yes to you. So we pray that like Mary, we are now sitting at your feet. We are giving our ears, our eyes, our hearts, and everything that is valuable to you right now, Lord. So we pray that even as we focus on one thing that is so important, so necessary, that you will continue to commend us, you will continue to bless us, you will continue to feed us and nourish us. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Today, the message is about too busy for God. In the first service, when I shared the message, there was a first-time visitor that came and sat right in the front. So I was asking my wife, I don't know whether I asked Pastor Pat, is this person a new person? Because it is very unusual for a first-time visitor to come right in the front to sit, right? Because we all have our favorite positions in the church. Some of us have marked our seats ready. So we have all our favorite seats, even for pastors. If as much as possible, we went for a conference last week, the pastors' conference for the leadership team. And as usual, when pastors go for a conference, they try to sit at the back, you know, because we like to experience what the congregation can do. They can sit at the back. Pastors, we are not allowed to sit at the back. We have to sit in front. So this visitor came and sat right in front. You know, she was straight away. And so we are thankful to the Lord. By the way, are there any more visitors here? We are here for the first time. You are very important. Can you quickly just wave your hands? Just wave your hands. I know. Yes, yes. Just wave your hands. Any new visitors, just wave your hands. You are so important. You are so important to us. And so just like Mary, you know, the new visitor gave me an illustration of how Mary's posture was. Today we are talking about coming back to the basics. Sometimes we run so fast. We run so fast that we forget the most important thing. We forget the needful thing. And Mary in this story is here to remind us again to come back to the most important thing that pleases the heart of God. In this time of shift that the church is doing, in this Kairos hour in our church, in our nation, in what's happening right now, we know that the Lord is doing something amazing in our midst. We have seen our Wednesday prayer meetings. We have seen our church services. We have seen even in the connect groups, even in the Evergreen ministry, that the people are coming back to God. The people are now there's a hunger and thirst for God. And I believe that this is the beginning of revival. Can we just give God the glory? But before revival can fully happen, there are a few things must happen. First, there must be a return back. Return back to the basics. Return back to the truth of God. Because there are so much information in the world, so much teaching in the world, so much things that are happening in the world that competes with the Word of God, competes with the commands of God. So there needs to be a return back. And that's why the three things that we are going to talk about when we look at the story of Mary and Martha is coming back to the Word of God. Then repenting when we come and know the truth. Is the truth that will convict us, the truth that will continue to guide us and to come before God and say, Lord, forgive me for drifting away. Forgive me for being too busy for you. Forgive me for being distracted. And only then, after we have come back, return and restore, repent, and then there will be a restoration. What is the restoration? Restoration is to put back God where He should be. The center of our lives. For some people, even for Christians, sometimes the Lord has been put aside. The Lord has been dethroned. The Lord has lost His place as the number one, as the center of our life. So this is a time when before revival can come, there must be a restoration of God, even in the church, even in our family, even in our marriage, our business, our work, and everything else. So three things that we can learn today that I hope that you will be able to catch, that you will be able to be ignited, that you will be able to catch the basics again. The three things is that is coming to hearing the voice of God again, returning to coming to hear God's voice. And then once we know the revelation of God, is that then we will have the right worship, the true worship, because once we know who God is, the natural thing to do is to bow down in praise, in thanksgiving, and worship. After that, what do we do once we begin to know God and we begin to worship God as He should be? Then we will give Him the place of honor. It says, Jesus, you take your rightful place in my life, in my marriage, in my work, in my ministry, in my business. So when we talk about this story, we always think about that we should either be a martyr or a Mary. And many times, I know we can give an indication that all of us, naturally, we are martyrs, right? So let me tell you a few things first. How do you know that you and I are martyrs? First thing is, we all have a checklist and to-do list. How many of us have a checklist and to-do list? So martyr is like that. How many of you like to multitask? Lift up your hands. Yes, we are all like that. So in many sense, we are all like Martha. We all want to get things done, especially when we are having having people to our homes. We always need to make sure it's clean. We also make sure that the food is there. We always want to welcome our guests to make sure there's more than enough food, everything in its proper place, right? Because they don't want to see our house on the other days. Yeah, the other house nowadays is different. And so we want to put everything in order. And so this is Martha. So, but we have to understand that Jesus in John 11 loved Martha, loved Mary, and loved Lazarus. So this is not a choosing. The Christian life is not an either or life. You must be either Martha or Mary. No, because God, Jesus is teaching us here right now in this passage that deep within us, there must be a Mary in us. A heart, a desire, just like we have sung just now, that Jesus should be our greatest treasure. Jesus should be our first love. Jesus should be our priority. And this will manifest, express itself in being a martyr to serve. Because we need to be both Mary and Martha. If there are no martyrs, today you come to church, the gates will be closed, the lights will be off, the aircon will not be there, the ushers will not be there, the traffic controls will be there, there will be no sound, there will be no aircon, and that's why we need martyrs. Let's thank God for the martyrs, because each one of us, we need to serve the Lord. So Jesus didn't condemn Martha. In fact, He, with a tender, loving voice, He just began to correct Martha and says, Martha, Martha, today God is speaking your name. Jason, Darren, Soon-how, Michael. It's just to remind us, be careful of not being too much of a martyr and so little of being a Mary. Because it's so natural to be work-oriented, to be performance-oriented, and that is so natural. That's what the world wants from us. So that now, every time, when Jesus enters, when Jesus calls us, there is a pause button. There is a saying, when we say yes to Jesus, that means we have to say no to something else. And so we have to begin to reevaluate our priorities in life. So the perspective that we have of Martha today is that Martha had a very important guest. And who was the one who invited Jesus to the home? In Luke chapter 10, it was Martha herself. She was the one who invited Jesus. And so she was a busy bee preparing for the Son of God to come to her house. Just like you and I, when we have people coming to our house, we will be a busy bee, right? Correct? It's very natural. But Mary, was she a lazy person? No. She was a faithful woman. She was a good sister, a good hostess, but she discovered that for her, she has another perspective. For Martha, she says that because we have a special, the Son of God coming, we must be busy and get everything done right, everything perfected. For Mary's perspective, for her, is that the Son of God is coming. I must give honor. I must spend time with the Son of God. So you see, there is a two perspective here. Neither is wrong. One wants to make sure that the Son of God has everything. The other wants to make sure that the Son of God is given the full attention. So here talking about being present with God, being attentive to God. Some of us are in the church, but our minds are not in the church. Some of us, we park our minds and our hearts here, you know, while our thoughts are now drifting to that restaurant, are now drifting to somewhere we are going to eat right now. In fact, some of you are texting messages, where are we going to eat lunch afterwards already? Yeah, if any of you doing right now, so you are being a martyr right now. Yeah, so this is where we have to be very careful when it comes to God. That is where we need to learn. I think in this story, we can learn a few things. First thing is priority. We must give God the best and not the balance. That is the danger right now of living in a world that is so busy, is so distracted that everything else demands our time, crowd us so that we don't have time for God, the things that is the most important, because only God can truly satisfy us. Only He is the living water. Only He alone is the bread of life. Only He alone is the Prince of Peace that will comfort and strengthen our hearts for the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first thing that we need to come back to the basics as we learn from Mary is to listen to His voice, the Word of God. That is something for each one of us that we cannot run. How do you feed your soul? How do you feed your spirit, man? It is spending time at the feet of the Lord, listening to His voice. Some people are asking, how come God does not speak to me? Can you ask God what He's telling me, what I should do? So my answer when people ask me that question is, God is speaking. Have you opened your Bible? Have you spent time alone with the Word of God? So we can choose either the morning or the night. We know that even in Isaiah, it speaks about late in the night, spending time with God, worshiping God with the Word of God. So the time, God is very flexible with your time because God knows that you have a schedule. But you have to make time. You have to set aside time, the best time for the Lord. And so the Word of God is so important. And that is why as a church, we constantly encourage people, even in the connect groups, even in the equip classes. Right now, I believe the equip classes, we have several classes going on that Pastor Sunita is the equip pastors and the other pastors that are teaching. We are always bringing in the right people to teach. So it's not that the word of God is not there to enrich you, to enhance you, to continue to help us to grow, but it is whether we have time for the Lord. So one of the things that I would like to change right here, I will respond to people when we say, I am too busy. Because we should never say that because we have 24 hours. So it is a matter of priority. In one word, we are saying is that you are not my priority. So when we don't have time for church, coming for church service, don't have time for prayer, don't have time for the connect group, don't have time alone for God, we are already too busy. And we have already have the wrong priorities in our life. So a better word, when somebody comes to invite you or to ask you to do things that is not a priority, that is not important, that will spoil your schedule, is to say, my time does not allow me to attend this. My time does not permit me to go for this. That is a better reason. Because then people will hear that he has his priority. And don't use the word busy, because many times busy is an excuse. We know that many people use this as their tagline, whether it's in their WhatsApp, whether it's in their social media, too busy. Or busy, even some people use busy for God. Are you sure you are busy for God? Because if you are busy for God, then we should not use the word busy. We are saying is that on fire for the Lord. This is something that we need to change the way that we prioritize our life. And the Word of God is the most important thing. Why do I say that? Before worship, before we can rightly worship God, we must know who God is. We must know the heart of God, the plan of God, the will of God. Many times we want to ask people, what is the will of God? The most important thing that God says that is the will of God is already in the Word of God. It's already in the Bible. If we constantly saturate our minds with the Word of God, spending time hearing from God, I can tell you that we will always be in the center in the will of God. We will not miss the will of God. Can we say an amen to that? Rather than constantly asking the pastors, asking your leaders, what is the will of God? Should I do this? Should I do that? The best answer is ask them to go back to the Word of God and discover what is the will of God for our life generally. And when we have that general, when we have that basic foundation of knowing the heart, the word, the commands of God, we will know what to do when the specific answer comes. Should I take this job? Or should I marry this person? Or should I move to another place? Or should I change ministry? Because then you will be already guided by the Word of God. The Word of God says, when we hide the Word of God in our hearts, Psalms 119, it says, then God will prevent us from sinning, from disobeying Him. I heard a story of a wife who wanted to divorce the husband because the husband didn't come to know Jesus yet. Because she came to know Jesus, then the husband. And he's saying that for so many years, I'm waiting and he still doesn't want to know the Lord. And so he asked this preacher, he says, I'm so angry that I want to divorce my wife now my husband now, because he still, after so many years, he still doesn't become to know the Lord. And says,
Family Life Ministry seeks to provide biblical and practical help for the relationships that matter most. Our objective is to improve and develop our own family relationships, serve the church by offering systematic instructions and training in matters relating to family life, with an emphasis on preventive and enrichment. If you would like to know more about our family life courses, head to our website at gladtidings.my. Thank you for listening. Now back to the message.
What is the will of God? Am I doing the right thing? So then the preacher says, the will of God is for you to go back to your husband. She got so upset, so angry, just like Martha. Got so upset, angry, because God told her something that is right back to the Word of God. Because the Word of God says, if your spouse, whether it's unbelieving, choose to remain with you, continue to be with that person. So divorce is something that God hates. So if you want to know the will of God, the Word of God is again coming to the will of God. So once we saturate our hearts and our mind with the Word of God, it will always guide us on what is the right thing to do. We know which kind of people to do. We know of not trying to get riches easy. Instant way of getting riches, because God always speaks about sowing, working hard in order to earn our living. So, in John chapter 10, verse 27, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." I saw a video recently, very powerful video, of in the pasture, there were sheep. I do not know whether it was New Zealand or Australia. And then there were visitors to the farm. So the shepherd asked them, "You try and call the sheep to come to you?" So they try many ways. They use their whistle, they call up different names, and the sheep didn't even bother about them. Just continue to eat the grass, just continue to do their thing, you know. So the shepherd says, "You watch me." So he just came to the fence and he just made a sound and he just called the sheep. Immediately, suddenly, there were at least 50, 60 sheep. Somebody turned around and all ran to him. And then the people were clapping, "Wow, so powerful." It's actually they recognize the voice of their shepherd. Do you recognize the voice of your shepherd? Do you know, and I know, where God is speaking? Many times, because of our busyness, because of the competing voices, this is where we need to silence the voice of the enemy. Silence sometimes our own voice, and silence the voice even of the world. Because we should know that God's voice, the voice of the Master, is always to lead us to a place of peace, lead us to a place of fruitfulness, lead us to a place that we will honor God, that we will live right before God, and that we will never ill-treat or speak badly of others. That is the voice of God. Even in the power of the Word of God, Jesus used the Word of God even to defeat the tempter. And we know that the tempter is always trying to win our soul. He said that Satan has a weapon. He says that if Satan cannot make you and I bad people, Satan only needs to make you and I busy or distracted. So busyness is one of the tools of Satan. He says, "Let's get them so busy. They have no time for God, no time for the Word, no time to come to church, no time to come to Connect Group, no time to come for prayer meeting, no time to go for the equip classes." This is what the enemy is doing, because the enemy knows that a Christian that is on fire, that is powerful, that is dangerous, is a Christian that knows the Word of God, that knows God. The Word of God says, "And they will know God, and we can do great exploits for those who know God." Can we say an amen to that? Amen. So if you and I want to be a dangerous Christian, we have to know the Word of God. Because just like Jesus in Matthew 7, when he was led into the wilderness to be tempted, 3 times Jesus used only one weapon. He used the weapon of the Word of God. He says, "It is written." It is written 3 times that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And one of the reasons why we are going through trouble, and that's why Martha was so anxious, stressed, and troubled, because she was away from Jesus, even though Jesus is so near. Sometimes we have so many Bibles in the home. I know I'm guilty of that. I have a lot of Bibles, you know, different types of Bibles. And many times, it doesn't mean we have more Bibles, we are more in the Lord. No. Sometimes we take the Word of God for granted, you know. So this is where we not only need to read the Word of God, more importantly, we need the Word of God to read us. Are you right with God? Are we close to God? Are we obedient to God? Are we sensitive to the voice of the Spirit of God? And so, this is where you and I will be strong in the Lord right now. Secondly, once we begin to be strong in God's Word, when we take time, whether it is on our time alone with God, like myself, I also go through the 1 year study Bible, but don't have to study all in 1 year, because you have to take time. As long as you have a systematic way of spending time in the Word of God, like Mary. Mary chose to put a pause button when the most important person is with her, is near to her. She says, I must give Jesus. I must learn from Jesus. I must hear from Jesus. Whereas Martha was so distracted, so busy, she missed out on hearing the good news. She missed out on being taught about the Word of God, about the kingdom of God, about the peace of God that God wants to give to us. And when we know God, that will lead us naturally to really worship God. Because if you and I begin to discover who God is, what He has done, and what He is still doing in our midst, it naturally will ask us to bow down our knees, to prostrate before God and say, "Wow, forgive me, Lord, for being so arrogant. Forgive me, Lord, for being independent. Forgive me, Lord, for being self-righteous. Forgive me, Lord, for thinking that I can do all things by myself." No. That is the world's way of thinking. That is the enemy trying to deceive us. Once we know who God really is, the natural thing for us is to worship, is to praise, is to love Him, is to give all our devotion to Him. You know, Mary of Bethany, there are many Marys in the Bible, in the New Testament, and all the Marys are very good examples. So this Mary is different from Mary, the mother of Jesus, is different from Mary Magdalene, and even from the other Marys, because this Mary was a very close friend of our Lord Jesus Christ. Every time Jesus passed by, from coming from Galilee to come to Jerusalem, he would stay by or drop by, because this family really loves him, really hosted him, really welcomed him as Lord, as God, as the Son of God. And so, the time that Jesus came to their home was that the time was where the thing that we see about Mary of Bethany on three occasions. First here in Luke chapter 10 was Jesus, Mary was found at the feet of Jesus. First time. That shows her love to be taught by Jesus, to hear the voice of her shepherd and her Lord and Master. Second, in John chapter 11, that in John chapter 11, 32, well, the brother died. And Jesus came after the fourth day, after his death only, where Lazarus was in the tomb, Jesus came. And the moment Mary was told by her sister, "The Master is here," immediately she ran out. And what is the posture that she had? She bowed down her feet to Jesus. And she began to say, "Lord Jesus, if only you had been here earlier, my brother would not have died." That was her faith. That was an act of worship. And the third time, again, in John chapter 12, from verse 1 to verse 3 again, where Jesus was preparing in his final day towards the cross, where Jesus again visited their home. Again, we see Martha being busy again. But what did Mary do? And Lazarus was sitting by the side as a host. And what did Mary do? Again, Jesus showed her love, her devotion, her worship, her priority. What did Mary do? Mary brought the most expensive perfume. It will cost 1 year's salary. And she just poured it on the feet of Jesus and used her hair. You know, for women, our hair is the most important thing, right? Whether it's a good hair day or a bad hair day, it determines sometimes our behavior. But Mary forgot all about that, because Jesus has come. Jesus is here. And she didn't realize, but it was prophetic. It was, I believe, it was the Spirit who directed her to give all her perfume to the Lord and just wipe His feet with the perfume, the best, the most expensive. Do you know that in the Jewish culture, for a funeral, it's very expensive, because they need to spend a lot on the ointment, the perfume, because they didn't embalm the body. So they just wrapped the body loosely, not like the Egyptians who mummified the body, but in the Jewish way, they just wrapped loosely and just put in between all the spices and the perfume to make sure, because of decomposition, you know, decay, the smell is very powerful. And so Mary didn't realize that her devotion and her worship was in preparation for His burial, His coming to die for us. This was Mary who came with the heart of worship unto the Lord. And so every time, the more we spend time with the Lord, is the more we become like Him. Do you know that whatever we worship, we become like that person? Like Mary, I believe that she began to discover because she heard His teaching, because she spent time with Him, listening to Him, worshiping Him, and giving her all, surrender to Him. I believe that Mary was exceptional, that she began to be more like Jesus. She knew the heart of Jesus. She knew the will of God. She knew that Jesus was going to the cross for her, for her family, for everyone, for the Jewish people and the Gentiles, because this is what Jesus did. Do you know that we become like the thing that we worship? We look like whatever that we worship, we look like it. Some people were saying that I begin to look more and more like my wife, because after 30 over years of getting married, we look at each other day and night, night and day. We begin to look like one another. For some of us, we have pets. Sometimes our pet looks like the owner also. You know, they take a picture, huh? The dog, look like this one. Which one is more handsome? Which one is prettier? We still don't know. Yeah. So the more we spend time with the Lord, the more you and I look like the Lord, talk like the Lord, love like the Lord, be gracious like the Lord, be compassionate like the Lord. So be careful of what you worship. Worship Jesus. And then you will have the treasure. You will begin to receive, when you and I meet the Lord one day, you will see that the Lord Jesus will welcome us into His presence, because we not just look like Him, but we act like Him and behave like Him. Thirdly, honor. Very important. Once we begin to know who God really is through His Word, once we begin to bow down in worship to Him, the next natural thing will be to honor God. What's the difference between honor and worship? Worship is to acknowledge His worthiness because of who He is, and because we are created in His image, because we have been saved by Him, because He has such a wonderful plan for us, we worship Him for who He is. But what is honor? Honor is to treat someone the way they ought to be treated, with due respect and esteeming them appropriately. So honor is to give God the right place in our lives. Martha just missed it. Jesus was so near. Jesus was in the home, in her home, but yet she was busy. She was allowed. Do you know the meaning of distracted? That Martha was so distracted with the serving. The meaning of distracted is you are pulled away, you are drawn away, you are snatched away with all directions and not being able to focus. And that is what distraction is. Do you know that right now in worship, right now, we are being distracted? We can even have an altar of busyness. Do you know how anything can be worship when we put the person more important than God? Anything can be an altar. So for many of us, because of the culture that is coming in on us, the surrounding that is coming, a bit work performance, a work-based quota, meeting people's expectation, we become to try to conform to people. But the Word of God says, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So be careful that we do not bring, that we do not offer our time alone with God. We do not sacrifice our time alone with God, sacrifice our family time, sacrifice our health at the altar of busyness, at the altar of distraction. Because like what we say, the enemy, that is how the enemy is going to steal, kill, and destroy. It's by changing our focus from putting God first, from putting your family first, from putting your marriage first, from putting your health first. And that's why people are falling sick left and right, because sometimes we do not focus, give time for our health, because the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes people say, I'm going to get a new body. but we are accountable to God for this body, this earthly body. So what you do with our body is a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. When the author mentions that let's present our bodies as a living sacrifice, not just talk about physical body, but talk about our whole life as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. So to honor is to put God where God should be and not allow anyone else to take God's place, because that is what the enemy will try to do. That's what the world will try to do. So today, this is a time, if we want revival to happen right now, we need to come back to the Word of God, because it is the Word of God that will feed us, will nourish us, will protect us, and will save us, and will bring healing upon our life. It is the worship of God that comes from knowing the Word of God that will begin to please God, bring joy and delight to God, and glorify God. And to honor God is so powerful when we know how to honor God. Do you know, if you and I do not know how to honor God, to give Him the right place in our position, you and I do not know how to honor others, people. Can I get the worship team here even right now? Just this week, I think on Wednesday, I have to rush back to Penang with my wife. My spiritual mentor in Penang from my previous church went home to the Lord at the age of 78. After I shared this story in the first service, I think one of them is a board member's wife says, I was in that school when he taught. So he was a principal, a headmaster. So when she remembered, it says he was the principal in ACS Kampa. How many of you from ACS Kampa? Anyone here? I know there are one or two of them. Oh yes, Daniel is from ACS Kampa. Jaya Balan, Brother Jaya Balan, yes. So he was really, you know that today I am who I am because of he was my mentor. So at his funeral, I had the opportunity to give an eulogy. And I say one of the things that I want to do today to remind the people is learn to honor the people that God has blessed us with, who has sowed into our lives, who has provided for us, who has sacrificed for us. And this man truly deserves honor because I've learned how to love the Word from him. I've learned to pray for people anytime from him. I've learned to minister to people at any time. And he has set such a big imprint in my life that I make sure that everybody knows that this man deserves the honor. Although in his life, he was not honored as he should be. This is something that we seldom hear today, the virtue, the word honor. There is so much dishonor right now. We don't honor our leaders. We don't honor our parents. We don't honor the people, the one who has gone ahead of us. And so today, when we learn how to honor God, there is a restoration of honor back in the house of God, in the families, to honor those who are our seniors. Honor the retired people, the retired pastors, the retired leaders who have gone ahead. So I will speak to the younger generation who are with us today and those who are online. Honor the people that God has blessed you with is a way to honor God, because these are God's gift to us, who have come into our life for a season to bless us, to walk with us, to journey with us. I remember even as one of the Chinese culture that we learn, you know, I don't know whether it happens in every home, but when we are sitting for a meal with people from different generations, we always look up to our seniors and we ask them and tell them, please eat, or Chia, Uncle Chia, Auntie Chia, you know, or please eat, Uncle, please take. We are telling our seniors, we are giving them that respect. To honor is giving God the respect and the people respect and that honor. For us as a culture in Malaysia, I think it's very powerful when we honor the elderly people and call them uncle, auntie, grandfather, grandmother. What I don't agree with is what's happening in the Western world, that they even call their parents by their name. This is very, very dishonorable, because they are your parents, they are your grandparents, or they are your seniors. This is where we should talk correctly with them. We should talk, give them the honor, the respect, and the esteem that is due to them. Are they perfect? No. The only one who is perfect is our Lord Jesus Christ. So today we want to restore back the heart to love the Word of God, because it's the Word of God that will help us to be victorious in this life, help us to be at peace. Do you know, in this story, we have the secret of overcoming anxiety, stress, and troubles. It is to learn how to come back and obey the Word of God. It is to learn to worship the one true God. It is to learn to honor God and learn people. Martha missed that because she was anxious, troubled, and stressed out. And Jesus has already given her the solution. Everything is found in Him, in Jesus. Jesus is the cure. Jesus is the antidote. Jesus is the medicine for anxiety, for stress, for worry, for troubles, if we give Jesus the first place. If we cannot say from today onwards, I'm too busy for God. I'm too busy to come to church. I'm too busy to come for prayer. I'm too busy to come to the Connect group, because this is a sense that we are giving God the first place. It is in the community, it is in the local church that we grow safe and we are best, we are secure, that we are mentored, that we are discipled. And this is the community that we learn to honor God and to love one another. So don't forget to learn to honor your elders. Let's stand even as we want to sing this song to the shepherd of our soul.
Thank you for listening to Glad Tidings. We hope that you are encouraged by this message. If you would like weekly updates, be sure to follow us on Spotify. To find out more about the life of our church, visit us on our website at gladtidings.my or follow us on social media. Once again, thank you for tuning in. God bless.